Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
A couple of years ago, we were doing an outreach. Has anybody here done door-to-door? Door-to-door outreach. It's not for the faint-hearted. It's not something you do on your day off just for fun, but when the Lord says, we do it. Amen? And we were going door-to-door. You get some interesting responses, some blessed, some not so blessed. Learned some new words. Anyways, so we were doing door-to-door, and as this family or this lady opened the door, there's one place, I noticed, like, looking past her, I noticed that there were lots of boxes. And I realized, wow, these people are just moving in. And I was like, hi, are you new? I'm not, like, from the area at all, but I was like, yo, welcome. And so we just grabbed the opportunity, you know. And I recognized that they were from kind of Eastern descent, you know, I thought maybe India, Pakistan, around there, and I asked, have you heard of Jesus Christ? And I had an unexpected answer. They said, they think they've heard the name, but nobody's ever bothered to tell them anything more. So I said, so would you like to hear more? And they said yes, and they invited us in. And it was one of the few opportunities I've had with my partner, we were going two by two, to share the gospel from the beginning. Isn't that awesome? How often do you share the word or share testimony? You start with in the beginning. It's a good place to start. It was quite a long session. No, I'm just kidding. Wow, what an awesome time. And the Lord really blessed us. And it was such an amazing time. And they were really interested. It was amazing, and I believe the Lord really sowed some amazing seeds there, and we prayed with him. But this question about who is Jesus Christ, that is still a thing that we wrestle with. And it's still, even if you listen around you, if you look on social media, and you, there's a lot of different stuff out there, different things, different opinions, different ways of thinking about him. And even in the time of Christ, it was like that. Did you see some of the stuff that comes out? I mustn't distract myself, but there's this T-shirt I saw. It says, Jesus is my homeboy. You seen it? Yeah, that's pushing it a bit, eh, guys? Yeah, I like rubber boots for you, buddy. Rubber boots, eh? No, like lightning? Yeah. Don't wear that T-shirt, man. That's not blessed. Somebody has a T-shirt like that, I just go to the other side of the street. I say, okay, buddy, it's cool, but I'm just going to walk this side. Anyway, so this question has been something people have wrestled over for many years, and even at the time of Christ. And let's have a look at Matthew 16. Oh, one more. Yeah, okay, from the 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And that's what I feel is the question for us this evening. Who do you say is Jesus? Who is Jesus in your life, right here, right now, this evening? On the day, the guys were saying, maybe some things, you know, some guys think you're John the Baptist, some think Elijah, some kind of a prophet, Jeremiah, you know, there was lots of opinions going around. And we still have that, you know. Some people say, no, but Jesus was a good guy. If you think about some people that have kind of investigated the thing a bit further, they recognize, okay, that Jesus is a well-known historical figure. There's lots written about Jesus outside of Christian literature, outside of the Bible. historical documents, historians of the day wrote about Jesus Christ, recorded what happened. So people have recognized, oh dear, you know, we can't just ignore this guy, Jesus. He's a historical person. He lived, he walked on the earth, type of thing. So then they say, yes, you know, Jesus is there. He's a great guy. He's a good person. He was a moral teacher, a good teacher, you know, kind of a guru, yeah, holy guy. So there's a lot of that kind of thing going around still, because people have recognized they can't ignore Christ. He existed. But what is he? For you this evening? Is he like a good teacher, a prophet? Or who is he in your life? And we come to something that C.S. Lewis wrote about this. And he responds to this thing. He responds to people saying, I don't believe Jesus is God. I don't believe he's anything beyond human. We just believe he's a prophet and a holy man maybe, or a good moral teacher. And C.S. Lewis writes this in response to this tendency. Let's look at this. It's called the Lewis's Trilemma. Here's something for you. Okay. All right, that's quite small. I'm going to read it. Stick with me. All right. He says, a man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with the man who says he's a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. Now it seems to me obvious that he was neither a lunatic nor a fiend, and consequently, however strange or terrifyingly unlikely it may seem, I have to accept the view that he was and is God. Makes you think. Jesus is not allowed, he's not allowed any space for middle ground or gray areas, guys. The claims that Jesus made means he claims to be the Son of God. He claims to be the Anointed One, the Savior, the Christ. So either he is who he says he is, or he's some lunatic fringe guy who's got problems. Are you with me? There's no middle ground. There's no gray area. He doesn't allow us to, as many want to do, say maybe he was just a good guy. Maybe he was just a good teacher. He's not left that option open. Amen. So that's the question this evening. Who is Jesus in your life and my life this evening? Is he like a genie? But maybe some of you don't know what that is. I've got three children, so I see a lot of that cool stuff. So there's this thing about the lamp, and then they rub the lamp. They mix up the stories these days. Have you noticed? I saw that these three ducks, what are these three little ducks? And then they find the lamp, and then it get all confusing because I thought it's Aladdin and they had the lamp. Okay, so they, apparently if you rub the lamp, then there's this genie, and then you got three wishes. That's kind of the standard quota, right? Is Jesus like that in your life? Is he like the problem solver guy that you have on speed dial now and again? Is it more like a rapid response type of deal? You pay a little bit of money every month and you don't really have a relationship, but you have a panic button. And when the wheels really come off, you know, panic button and God comes through. It's really quiet in here. Is he like a spiritual beautician? You know, it just makes things look nice. Does a quick fix. Patch things up a bit. Don't worry, we could put more of this base stuff on. It'll all look fine. Is it like that? Or is he Lord and God and King and Savior? Let's look at the next scripture from John chapter 1. Now, before we read this, John the Baptist, not your regular guy, right? he was prophesied about. That's pretty cool in itself. If the Bible prophesies about you. So there was a prophecy about him, you know, the one about the voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. That was a prophecy pointing to John the Baptist that would prepare the way for Jesus. He was the cousin of Jesus. That in itself is amazing. And, the angel came to speak to his parents or his dad about his birth. His dad wasn't convinced, so he couldn't speak for about 9 months until his boy was born. There's a lot of stuff happening around the life of John the Baptist. And he had a very specific purpose to his life. He had a very specific call. And he was a bit of a out there character. He was out there in the wilderness baptizing people. He was dressed weirdly. He had a dodgy diet and stuff like that. But he had a very specific anointing and call on his life. And I don't know if you've had this experience, but there are moments in our lives, and I've heard people talk about this in terms of calling and destiny and even in terms of career, when you find yourself in a situation and you find yourself in a moment and you realize, this is what I was born for. This is what I was created to do. In a way, it's for me, one of those moments is when you meet your spouse, maybe not day one, but that moment when you recognize and you realize this is the one. Okay, maybe not many of you. No, I'm just kidding. But I remember that moment for me when I was very confused about whether I should ask Anna out. I took it a bit far. Please don't do this. But I wanted to be completely sure that I was going to marry Erna before I asked her out. Okay? Oh, that's a bit extreme. So just give me grace, okay? But so I was like heavy confused. I didn't know what to do. And I spoke to a pastor and we prayed and we took authority over the confusion. But praise the Lord, well, that works, by the way, if you take authority over confusion. Because that night I knew for sure, and I had this amazing moment where I recognized and I realized this is the one. And I was so excited, I didn't sleep a minute that whole night basically. And I went back to the pastor, see us the next morning, and I said, you know what we spoke about last night? And he looked at me and said, did you sleep at all? I said, no sleep. But I was so, but it was, you know what I'm talking about, that moment you recognize this is it. And this is it was a moment like this for John the Baptist. Because this was the moment when his life's purpose culminated into this moment. Let's read quickly from John 1. John answered him saying, I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. Wow, what a powerful moment. He realizes in that moment that this is what he was born for. Is to prepare the way for Christ and to make the declaration, to identify, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Powerful moment. And then he baptizes him, being reluctant at first. Jesus tells him, you know, to fulfill all righteousness, you need to baptize me. He baptizes him, and as he comes out of water, the Holy Spirit, like he's testified, descends upon him and remains on him. And the Father opens up the heavens and he declares, this is my beloved Son. in whom I'm well pleased. Powerful, powerful declaration. And for each of us, we need this moment that John had. In a very personal way, we need a moment where we recognize Jesus for who he is. I grew up in a Christian home, a very blessed family. I grew up in church, went to church most Sundays. Okay, we did come a bit late, and we normally sat in the overflow and took a nap here and there. Mostly my dad, no, I'm just kidding. But it was not enough for me to have information about Jesus Christ. I had lots of information. It was not enough for me, for you and I, to go to Sunday school and get that information, or go to church a lot and get information. There's a lot of information out there. That's not enough. I had to come to a point where I could see with my eyes opened in the Spirit, see, this is the Son of God who takes away the sin of the world. That moment for you, that personal moment of recognizing that Jesus died for my sin. He's paid the price for me. As I said, I grew up in a church environment. I was trying to please everybody. I was trying to please God in the same way. I was bound by fear, doing everything, hoping for the best, you know. And one day a teacher said something almost like in passing in class, said about that you can have assurance of salvation. You can have an assurance of eternal life. I said, what? Because I was just, you know, do what I can, hope for the best type of thing. I was imagining these big scales in heaven one day, going to weighing up the good stuff and the bad stuff that I'd done. And I was just kind of in fear, trying to do my best, striving to do the right thing, hoping that God will have mercy on me, you know, hoping for the best, hoping the scales kind of tip in the right direction. And that day my world was shaken because he said, you can have an absolute assurance that Jesus is your Savior, that you're going to heaven, that you have eternal life. And I said, what? I need that in my life. And not long after that, I sat in a service and I heard the gospel presented to me in a very real way. And I heard testimonies of lives being transformed by the power of the cross. And I said, yes. And for the first time in my life, my eyes opened and I recognized, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Takes away my sin. And I remember as a 12-year-old boy walking to the front, I didn't have a clue about deep theological doctrines, but I knew that evening that Jesus Christ is my Savior. And I had an absolute conviction, as I still have to this moment, that I am His Son and I have eternal life. And from that moment, that fear was gone and a peace came over me. The peace that the Scripture says goes beyond understanding. And that peace has never left me. And I can tell you now, at that moment as a small boy, I didn't have all the answers, but that peace of God was with me from that moment. Are you with me this evening? Because I had that revelation that this Jesus is the one that died for me. My dad cannot do that for me. My father took us to church. I can take all that information, but we need that moment. Are you with me this evening? We were once on campus in Stellenbosch. I was having lunch. Lunch times are amazing. I mean, even if in a workplace, whenever there's like a public area, we've seen people sometimes share tables. Guys, that's a great place. I'm just saying. So there was this guy sitting down. And I said, listen, can I sit here? This is like one of those long tables. He said, yeah, no problem. And we sat down. And at that stage, it's holiday tomorrow, eh? Okay, no problem. So at that stage, we were doing this evangelism tool. We were learning this evangelism tool called the Way of the Master. And it's quite a hectic one, but... And I watched all the DVDs. Pastor Sias had me watch all the DVDs over the holidays, and then I had to kind of do a summary of them. That was a great holiday. No, it was really cool. I remember sitting down. Now, you learn, there's a kind of this method that they teach you. Okay, we can talk about that another day. But anyway, so sat down and I proceeded to ask him the questions as the DVDs taught us. And it was the weirdest thing. I thought, this guy has also watched the DVD. Because he knows all the answers. You know, he says all the right stuff. But the point was that the conversation takes you to a point where you ask the person, have you ever sinned? Or have you done like the wrong stuff? And the person actually realizes, oh, you know what? I have actually lied and I have actually done wrong things. And then this guy grew up in a similar environment to me, in a conservative Christian environment. And I remember the moment when he sat there and I said to him, if this is true, if you are guilty like me, well, if you stand before Jesus one day, will you be guilty or innocent? And I remember the conviction hitting this guy. And the food was cold by then, you know, but he just got really quiet and he said he'll be guilty. And I said, do you know what God has done? So Austin, will you go to heaven or hell? And he said, and again, that moment of conviction, he said, I would go to hell. And then I said, do you know what God has done that you and I don't have to go to hell? And I'll remember that my whole life, because he just started to weep and he said, Jesus died for me. And you could see that it was just, the lights went on and his eyes opened. He saw the Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world. And I could pray with him right there amongst the chaos of the student center, because he'd recognized Jesus is the Lamb of God. It takes away the sin of the world. It took away his sin. Amen. We cannot go without that moment with God. It comes in different ways. But it's a very personal thing. Who is Christ in your life this evening? Who do you say that is He? Let's look at the next slide. There's a couple of things. You know, the way we live, some of us treat Jesus like a nutritionist, spiritual nutritionist. You know, give some advice, read some cool stuff in the Bible, we adjust our life a little bit, adjust the diet. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He's not somebody that will point you in the right direction. He's not somebody that's going to give you some tips. 5 steps that we find on the internet, just Google it, you know. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Me as a person, I'm the one that nourishes you. I'm the one that sustains you. I'm the one that makes you grow. I'm the one that strengthens you, that sustains you. Amen? That fills you up. I'm the one that fulfills you. Sometimes we treat Jesus as, is he like a psychiatrist? You go to somebody, he listens, and then maybe shed some light on your situation. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. I'm not going to show you the light. I'm not going to give you the 10 steps. He says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will never walk in darkness. He is the light of the world. He says, I am the good shepherd. He's not somebody that can give you you know, have you seen these things, the life hacks and the 5 steps and the 10 solutions? And he says, no, I am the good shepherd. Follow me. Have you ever seen a Middle Eastern shepherd in action? It's the most amazing things. We had some sheep, and I grew up just outside here, outside Pretoria. We had a small holding, and we had some sheep at one stage. It didn't last very long, but if you've ever worked with sheep, guys, I just want to say, the Lord calls us sheep in the Bible. It's not really a compliment. Okay, I mean, I'm just saying. I'm going to ask God about that one, because they're really. I don't know, the ones we had were, maybe they were below average, but they were stupid. Eh? They were not bright, I tell you. And they were very difficult to herd in the right direction. It was really tough. But the Middle Eastern guys, they operate in a completely different way. The sheep spend time with the shepherd from day one, from when they are born. And often they would carry the little lambs on their shoulders when they're still too young to keep up with the rest of the herd. And that little lamb would be here and get to know the voice of the shepherd. They don't chase their sheep. They walk, and the sheep follow them because they know the voice of the shepherd. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." We know his voice. We follow him. Amen. Some of us treat God like a financial advisor or an advisor in general or a motivational speaker. Makes you feel a bit better about yourself and you get psych yourself up in the morning. You're ready to go. Jesus says, "I'm not going to show you the way." He says, "I'm not going to investigate and find the truth." He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Are you with me this evening? We look for all the avenues. We look for all the solutions. The society around us is looking for salvation in so many places. But Jesus says, "I am. I am." Amen. I mean, I want to look at a piece from Genesis chapter 22. From just before we read that, now just the context here. Now, you can go one more. We got it's not much better, but we'll get there. All right. So Abram received amazing promises from God. Okay. All of his promises, all of the promises that he received from God were around his son, and Abraham, or around his offspring. And up until he was 100, Abraham did not have any children. Can you see the problem there? And the miracle happens, and when he was 100, his wife was 99, they fall pregnant, they have a son. It's an absolute miracle. The promise is there. Right, Isaac, everything that he has received from God is encapsulated in his son Isaac. Okay, keep that in mind when we read here now from verse 1, Genesis 22. "Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abram, and he said to him, 'Abram,' and he said, 'Here I am.' And he said, 'Take now your son, your only son, Isaac.'" Now, if it wasn't clear by then, he says, "The one whom you love, your son, your only son, whom you love, and go to the land Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." So Abram rose early in the morning. He did not fast and pray for 3 weeks. This is a miracle in itself. He rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey. Let me skip a few verses on. He says, "And Isaac spoke to him." Abraham said, then he said, "Look, the fire and the wood." Now Isaac knew they were going to worship. They're going to bring an offering. But he recognized there's something missing. He says, "Father," he says, "we've got fire, there's the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering." So the two of them went together. And they came to a place of which God had told him. And Abram built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And I believe that Abram acted in the confidence that God was able to raise his son from the dead. But look at this obedience. And Abram stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abram, Abram." So he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." We see God bring probably the most difficult test that at least any parent or any person could face. And we see this amazing moment where God stops him and says, "Don't touch the boy." And then he'd made provision. There was a ram in a thicket. He had provided, like Abram said to Isaac, but he said to him, now I know that you fear me. Now I know, I can see you've demonstrated that you love me. And we see something very powerful here about how the heart of God. We see that this is the test that God had for Abram to see if he was really committed, if he really loved God, if he really feared God, that covenant that they had, was it for real? Do you see that? And you know what? 2,000 years later, not very far, literally meters, in a very close proximity to that very spot, God the Father provided the lamb. When Isaac carried the wood up the mountain, in the same way Jesus carried the cross. When they were done there, he called the place God provides. And surely 2,000 years later, to God's plan of redemption for the universe culminated in this one moment when he provided the lamb for the ultimate sacrifice, the lamb that takes away the sin of the world. And what I want to point out to us here is that if this is the test that he had for Abraham, this is how God demonstrates his love towards us. If we look at Romans 5 verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. If you've ever doubted the love of God for you and me and every soul out there, know that God gave his only son, the son that he loved. He did not withhold him. In fact, that's how he demonstrates his love. And it's such a powerful picture because that is the test that he gave to Abram. And 2,000 years later, he demonstrates his love for you and me. And the whole world demonstrates it in the exact same way. He says, I will not withhold my son. I love you this much. My son, my only son, the one that I love, I will give him in your place. Pray with me. Acts 4 verse 12 says, nor is there salvation in any other. There's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The world will have us believe that there are many roads that lead to Rome. There are many answers. There are many things we can Google. There are many avenues. There's many ways even to follow God. I can follow God on my own terms. Whatever works for you. Jesus says, I've made it simple. I am the only way. Amen. We're going to have communion this evening. If the guys want to hand out the elements of the communion. If you want to stand with us this evening, please. While we hand out the communion, I just feel a couple of things to pray for. Thanks. And let's just pray as they're going to come and hand out the communion. Father, we thank you, God, for the way that you demonstrate your love for us, Lord. God, and we recognize this evening, Lord, that sometimes we go through life, and although we know, and although we have the information, and although we go through the motions, Lord, we lose the reality of the cross in our everyday lives. And I thank you, Lord, just for a fresh revelation this evening. Let's just see, as we hand out the elements, I feel this evening that there's some here that you've known God and you've been in a relationship with Him, and some have been in church, but you know and you recognize in your heart this evening that Christ has been something else other than Lord and God. And you've maybe lost that revelation of the cross, even that what Hayden shared about, the dream that he had. I feel tonight God wants to take off every veil. Let every scale fall from our eyes that we can see the cross. And that we can once anew, afresh, recognize how God demonstrated his love for each soul here. And I felt specifically, I just feel one or two people, maybe more here this evening, that many times you felt, I really believe God loves people. And I can see God loving people around me, but there's something in recognizing and receiving that for yourself, and you've always struggled that God loves you in that same way. And I feel this evening God wants to just bring that peace in your heart. I just feel he wants to open your eyes to see that he has paid the highest price. He did not withhold his son, his only son. He loves you that much. He sent his son, Jesus, to pay the highest price that anyone has ever paid. To carry that sacrifice, to carry that punishment and that torture, to carry every sin that is ever committed and will ever be, to become, Scripture says he became a curse for us. Anybody get skipped? We just close our eyes. Father, we thank you for your word this evening. Lord, we thank you that you quieten every heart in this place now, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that you speak into every soul. Lord, and I thank you, Father, for specifically those that have doubted your love, those that have struggled to receive your love right now in the name of Jesus. I pray that you put your hand on every heart by your Spirit. I thank you, Lord, that you say to each one of us, I love you, my son, my daughter. I love you this much that I have given my only son, the one that I love, the one in whom the destiny of the whole world was in his hands, and I've given him for you, for your sake. And Jesus, we thank you, Lord. We thank you that you did not step aside. We thank you that you did not skip the worst part, Lord, but your scripture says that you endured the cross, despising the shame. Some here this evening, as every eye is closed, that there are some that have wrestled with some questions. And I feel the Lord wants to bring that assurance tonight. That you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, he wants to bring that assurance of salvation that will be the rock that your life is built on, the fact that Jesus Christ is your Savior and your Lord and King. That's you this evening, while every eye is closed. Maybe you've had relationship with God. Maybe you've been in church. Maybe this is your first time. But right now, you know that you are not where you should be in your relationship with God. I feel some are wrestling with stuff from the past, and I've got great news for you, because God says, my son, my daughter, I love you no matter what has happened in the past. No matter what you carry with you, no matter what guilt or shame you carry with you, my my blood, the blood of Jesus, covers a multitude of sins. He says, everyone is welcome. You are accepted in the Beloved. In Christ, you are accepted. You're made righteous. And I just feel those that are wrestling, Yaku, you don't have a clue what I've done. You don't know where I come from. I feel God is saying, my son, my daughter, I know, and I want to. My grace is sufficient for you. My love is sufficient. My saving grace is sufficient for you. My forgiveness is sufficient for you. The blood is paid for all of those things. If that's you this evening and you want to make right with God, you want to accept His invitation this evening, why don't you just slip up your hand? I'd love to pray with you. Is there anybody like that? Thank you. Is there anybody else? Thanks. Thank you. If you've raised your hand, you can let it go down again. If is there anybody else? Pray before we have communion together. I want us to pray together just to bring our hearts before Him again, just to proclaim again, Lord, maybe I've been busy and I've been distracted and I've treated You like a rapid response or something like that, but Lord, I just feel that tonight we can declare once again that He is Lord and God and King and Savior. Amen. So I'm going to pray and I want you to pray after me. Pray together. Father God, thank You for Your love for me. Thank You, Jesus, that You died on the cross and You rose again for me. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, that God has raised Him from the dead. I thank You, God, right now, and I can turn around from my old life and I can choose right now to follow You. I admit, Lord, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I've tried so many things. Thank You that You save me right now. Thank You that You heal me. Thank You, restore and renew. Thank You that I am Your child and You are my Father. Thank You that I can hear Your voice. Thank You, Lord, that the same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead is in me. Thank You that I can follow You, Lord, as King and Savior. Thank You, Lord, that we can be all this evening. We can proclaim and we declare, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Thank You, Jesus, that You took our sin. Thank You that You give us new life. And as we take this communion, Lord, we do this in remembrance of You. We thank You for the body of Christ that was broken for us. You took our punishment, Lord. You took our sin. You took every curse and every disease and every sickness, Lord. You were punished and tortured and Your body was broken so that we can be whole, so that we can have fullness of life, Lord. And as we eat together, Lord, we thank You for the broken body of Jesus, Lord. And we celebrate the cross and we thank You for the victory of the cross, Lord. Let's eat together. In Jesus' name, right now, Lord, we thank You for Your healing over every soul and every body in this place, Lord, by the stripes of Jesus Christ. We thank You, Lord, for the blood that was shed for us, God. We thank You that even as Christ was on the cross and the blood was shed for us, Lord, that the drop of blood went down and seeped into the ground, Lord, and it's even there today. And it proclaims of life. It proclaims of a love of a Father that has gone beyond any other. and has paid the highest price. And we thank you, Jesus, that that blood speaks of redemption for us, Lord. Thank you that that blood proclaims new life for us and for our nation, God. In Jesus' name, we thank you that the blood declares the love of the Father and the resurrection power of the cross, God. And this evening, Lord, we take this juice as a symbol and we celebrate the blood of Christ. And we thank you for that new life. And we thank you for that resurrection power, God, in Jesus' name. Let's drink together. Lord, and as we celebrate the cross, we thank you, Lord, that in Jesus' name we can lift the cross over our own lives, God, over our families, Lord. We lift up the cross of Christ over our city. We lift up the cross of Christ over our nation, and we proclaim that Jesus Christ is sufficient. We proclaim that the cross is sufficient for you. We declare over our nation that the blood of Jesus is sufficient for you. We proclaim over our city and over our nation that there's no other name given amongst men by which you must be saved. God, we thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice. We thank you, Lord, for the redemption of our nation. We thank you for every soul, Lord. In Jesus' name, be glorified, Lord.
Thanks for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that you enjoyed your time with us, establishing God's kingdom and His glory in your life. For more info, call us on 012-362-1363, email us pretoria@shofaronline.org, browse our website www.shofaronline.org, or like us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.